Hello and welcome to Greenhouse Rants. I hope all of you are having an amazing, lovely time of day, whatever time of day it is. It is currently evening here and it is quite magical. I'm in the greenhouse. I got my little twinkle lights on and the bugs are out. The traffic is down. Yeah, it's very relaxing. Doors are open. It's about 70 something. Like, I could not ask for better weather or better temperatures. So I hope some of you are getting some of this magic. We're going to dive right in with... What am I drinking? I'm drinking another mood brew. This one, I can't remember what flavor I drank on the last episode. Orange, cranberry, rosemary. I probably was drinking that one. It's limited edition. I bought a case of them. It's my favorite one. Yeah, for those that missed it, a mood brew is a terpene-based drink. If you're a weed person, don't ask me. I don't fucking know weed shit. There's no THC, so there's no psychoactive stuff. All this and that. It's terpenes, the molecules that have the mood altering, yada yada. So I'm not going to even pretend like I know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's very yummy, and it's got a little bit of a weedy aftertaste. And I get asked this all the time. We're just diving right into the rant. So buckle in. Actually, before I do that, I just want to check in with you guys. Are you doing good? Are you doing okay? If not, I hope you know that is okay. Totally normal. You're not alone. These things are just cliches, but maybe it might help to hear. And I hope your mind is well. If not, I hope you're at least being somewhat kind to yourself. It's just a little check-in. Hope you're doing good. Hope the brain's doing good. If not, I hope you have the support needed to get through whatever chapter you're going through right now. And hopefully that chapter ends and moves on to another one. So, anyways, I get a lot of people asking me all the time, you know, oh, bro, do you smoke? And man, I'd love to sit down with you and have a smoke session. I'm gonna open up about some shit. I have spent most of my life avoiding weed until the pandemic. Pandemic happened. I said, you know what? The world's ending. let me see what this is all about. I did not like it at all. I did not like it. The first time I ever smoked weed was like 2020, like May 2020. So everyone keeps asking me, I'll go to shows, and I've had people ask, like, hey man, can we have a smoke sesh after your show or something? And I'm like, no. And the same thing happens every time. I tell them, you know, I have high anxiety. I have, like, sky-high anxiety, and the same response every time is, well, bro, you're just not having the right strain. You're not smoking the right strain. I'm like, I've smoked a lot of strains, because I thought that, because I kept being told that. I said, well, is there some science here? And not a single motherfucking strain works for me. I start seeing the back of my head. I don't know, for those of you that have smoked... or have consumed THC, if you've ever seen the back of your head, it's not a great place to be when you're staring at the back of your fucking head. Eyeballs, disembodied, looking at the back of my head. And here's where I knew that weed wasn't for me. It took a couple of times before I felt it. And that's what I've heard. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it'll be mild. So the third time, I did the whole thing. I was like, I'm going to do the whole thing. You know, like, maybe I'm built like a brick shit house. Like, I can handle it. Nah. I was sitting there, and here's exactly the chain of events that happened. I was sitting with some family and some friends, and I was getting high. My knees were feeling kind of, like, weird and light, and the front of my face felt warm. Like a soft comfort, like almost like I could like fall into a pillow of air or something. It just felt weird. And I had this thought that was like, wow, look at all these people you love. And I thought that so clear, like clear as day. These are things I feel, but never have I had it's very rare to have that like boom, clear, concise thought around that. And I thought, man, look at all these people I love. And Some of y'all know where my brain's going next. I just pictured them all dropping off the planet like dominoes. Boom, dead. Boom, dead. Boom, dead. Boom, 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 dead. And I'm just thinking, oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Everyone's going to die. Everyone's gone. Boom, 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 dead. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it because it felt real. Like, yes, we all know we all die. Horrible thought. It's a truth, and there are things in life that can distract us from sitting with that too much. But when you're high and you really focus in on some shit, I sat there and I really saw it and I really felt it, and it was real, like real, real. And everyone always says when you're high, everything's like an epiphany. Like everything's like a boom, boom, boom. Oh my gosh, well, this makes so much sense. And you get all the high thoughts because everything feels like a new novel idea. Well, imagine that, but the realization that mortality is imminent. It didn't help that it kind of lined up with when the average male brain is done developing. And I have some thoughts that I think line up with, like, maybe when, if you're going to smoke weed, you should, like, not do it for the first time right when mortality is starting to set in. But your brain stops developing around your mid-20s. And for men, I think it's always a little, like, a couple years later. I think what happens is your brain is processing everything in the world from the moment you're born, and you're taking in all this information. And some things are more important than others at certain ages, and some parents find that annoying or frustrating. You know, like when your kids are trying to, like, identify themselves. They're trying to figure out who they are, and they're setting their own boundaries, and they're breaking boundaries so that they can learn fucking where they stand. Us parents hate it when our kids break boundaries, when they break the rules. They have to know where their bounds begin and end, and that's how you do it. It's very frustrating, but they're figuring themselves out, and the brain prioritizes different things throughout. You know, you hit your teens, and that's when you start learning about your sexuality, you know, and that doesn't really stop, I don't think. But you start to hit mid-20s, and your brain's like, okay, we got it. We got it. We figured it all out. We got the food. We got the sex. We got the joy. We got the things we don't like. We got the things that are dangerous, the things that are safe. And sometimes those get mixed up. If you fuck up your kids, you can mix up what is safe and what isn't. Okay? But your brain's figuring it all out. Hopefully it does the best to categorize it as close to what is a safe reality as possible. If not, you got therapy coming. Sorry. But you hit your mid-20s, and all of a fucking sudden, all that is left is mortality. You're not bothered with mortality. Maybe you have a couple of periods when you're little or a teenager, you're like, oh, shit. But then you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm back to being hungry or bored or frustrated or annoyed. If, you know, I'm fucking annoyed at everything. But there's a point where your brain takes all the things it learned, and it does what I think is called the mortality test. And it looks at all of life and the end of life, and whatever answers you got from, like, say, 0 to 26... Those are the answers and tools that your brain will take to the mortality test. And the answer you get is probably the answer you get. Now, brains, there's neuroplasticity, so it's not permanent. But if you're not careful, you'll get stuck with it and not know you're holding it. And so couple that, my brain's like, mortality, like, it's coming. And I'm like, no, it's not, we're all fine. And it's like, no, I'm fucking telling you, like, all the only last question we got is the mortality question, and I'm high as hell, and I think my brain answered the question while I was really high, and I felt like I could feel death. Like, I remember feeling like, thinking I've died before, and that made so much sense. It doesn't make sense now, but at the time, it made so much sense. I was like, oh, I've died. I've been dead. Oh, my God. And from there on, it was just anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. I would try smoking again and again, and my brain was like, you know, these people hate you. I'm like, no, they don't. And they're like, but what if they do? I'm like, why would you do this? Brain's like, we just got to be careful. We never know. So yes, I have smoked before. It doesn't work. And edibles, I don't know. No. No. So, long story, coming back to, I'm drinking a terpene drink. There's no THC. I don't know. It's a yummy drink. But I had to step away. I had to. And everyone's like, oh, layer on the CBD with it. I've done it all. It doesn't work. So if you see me at a show, don't ask to smoke with me, because I'm going to have a panic attack. You don't want to be around that. So what are we talking about today? I have so many cool projects I want to share with you guys, and some artist advice that I want to dole out to anyone that might need it. I am of the firm belief, and no one will change my mind on this. Hey, I don't... Well, I might change my own mind on this. I might be in the process of changing my mind right now, which is healthy. Am I in the process of... I'll say it and see how I feel. I don't think that most successful artists necessarily pick to be successful artists. I don't. I think there are people that have a leg up, and then I think there's luck. I didn't used to believe in luck. I don't believe in luck, but I just think that things line up. I think everyone else picks for you to be a successful artist. And then from that point on, it's, do you notice this is happening? Do you notice that this is happening? The world is picking for me to be successful at this moment. However you define success, everyone defines it differently. But if you notice, oh, whoa, my definition of success is happening, do you then find a way to distill it and try to bottle it and save it? Or do you just chug the whole thing at once? You don't get to pick at all. Also, yeah, if you say some crazy shit in the chat, I'm a block you. There we go. Okay, so, anyways, success isn't just money. I had someone in the chat say success is money. That's not necessarily true at all. Success could be finding a supportive network. It could be also getting your bills paid. It could be recognition, or it could be finding a way for your work to be self-sustaining and to give you the time and space to do something else. There are different ways to define success. I get that the average definition of success is money, because it buys you the time and space to do the things you enjoy. But if you're not doing the things you enjoy, it's not really success. If you're just kind of like back on the hamster wheel. So, yeah. Sorry, don't agree with you on that. But the world chooses. You don't get to really go out and pick. You put your stuff into the world and then cross your fingers. And people will tell you if they like it or not. There's a lot of amazing art out there that deserves recognition, and there's art out there that gets a lot of recognition that a lot of us sometimes feel we wish that recognition was divvied up. And for me, what I deem my most successful endeavors or projects, my most exciting projects, are the ones I least expect, and I don't really go out and pick it. I hinted a few days ago that I fell into a really cool opportunity, and I will reveal the full scope of this project on Halloween. That was what I agreed to. But I got to collaborate and work with an amazing, very influential hip-hop artist and rapper. And this has been a big deal for me. I've been working on this project for a couple of months. It's huge. It's something I never thought would be... I never really thought this was something that would fall into my lap. And when it did, I freaked the fuck out. Couldn't believe it was happening. And I kind of looked back at what led to this. I was asked to do a design for a limited edition vinyl for a really, really huge hip-hop artist that is signed to Atlantic Records. That was not on my itinerary, especially for this year. And I was approached and asked, hey, I was told, you do some crazy shit. Do you want to do some crazy shit for this hip-hop artist and their new album that's coming out, and help us with our limited edition release for this? And I was like, this can't be real. And I get to reveal this Halloween. On Halloween, I get to share what this project was. And I'm going to tell you exactly what happened that led to this opportunity. And I didn't really pick any of it. I didn't start off with saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is the end goal for this. And there are some of you guessing in the chat right now. I won't say anything. But it is Glow. It is a glowing limited edition vinyl. I worked up two different pigments that are color changing, but they swap colors to reveal a whole hidden design that is on top of the art on the vinyl. And it's like this, it's just a lot of fun. It's so much fun. But what led to this? One step behind the invitation to do this limited edition jacket, this vinyl jacket, was I shared a video of a pigment my team and I made. One of my assistants just mixed up some paint. I encourage a culture of experimentation for my assistants that work for me. It's very much like, we get what we need done, and then if any free time, just fuck around. And so there's a lot of fun experimentation that happens, which in my opinion leads to better work, a healthier environment, both creatively and mentally, and that leads to so many awesome fucking things. And one of them was this pigment my assistant Joe had whipped up that we called, it was mauve. It was a mauve pigment that desaturated. So it was like this nice, earthy purple mauve, and if you took it to a dark room, it turned gray. It desaturated, completely turned gray, and then it glowed white. And I shared this video freaking out about this, and that video went hyper-viral. Like, it blew up, and I was not expecting this. I just love sharing what I make and what my team makes. Had no plans of, like, this blowing up. I was just like, whoa, this is cool. Here's some cool science. Here's some cool science art. I want to share this with you. It went super duper viral, blew up. I couldn't keep up. It was a bunch of people asking if they could put this paint on their cars. And I was like, I'm not a car guy. This is not a car guy page. So ignored almost all of those. And then I got an email from someone at Atlantic Records who was like in charge of all their just ridiculous, crazy, creative ideas, ways to promote, hype up artists and promote them. And he just sent me an email, said, hey, I'm with Atlantic Records. That video you shared was insane. We want to bring you in on some projects. I saw this. I'm freaking out. Can we get on a phone call? And I was like, this can't be real. I thought it was spam. Like, I thought this was spam. I was like, Atlantic Records. I was like, Bruno Mars, Skrillex shit. Like, I was like, this isn't real. I replied, and I was like, yeah, I'll hop on a call. Literally thinking I was being, like, baited. And we got on a call, and I was like, oh, no, this is real. Talking to this guy, sharing my ideas. He was excited. He asked me, you know, to talk about myself. I was like, okay, well, here's what I do. Here's how that pigment worked. And the first thing he said was, well, can we put some of this crazy pigment on one of these projects with, you know, say blank? And I was like, you mean blank, blank? He was like, oh, yeah, blank, blank, blank. And I was like, put it on blank? Work with blank? That was that. Now, what led to the mauve pigment, the video, was the glowing plants. The glowing plants. I did not set out to make glowing plants. I was, it's crazy when you lay it out. The pigments we make for the glowing plants made the mauve pigment, which got Atlantic Records' attention, which landed me this really cool project. What made the glowing plants? Well, I was asked by Netflix to appear on a docuseries called The Future Of, and they asked me to talk about the future of houseplants. They wanted me to talk about science fiction meets houseplants, and they said, do you ever see a future where we have glowing plants, or light-emitting plants, that we can replace household lighting with glowing plants? And I said, possibly, but that's a lot of genetic engineering. I know some people have tried it. There have been some Kickstarters that were not super well-funded, or were funded, and they just couldn't deliver, because it's a huge task to make bioluminescent plants, you know, trying to do something that nature decided was better suited for other organisms, not really plants. And I'm all for tinkering too. I was like, the whole thing's a big toolbox. It's a big sandbox as far as like scientists and artists are concerned. And they said, well, we want to talk about light-emitting plants, but how can we do this? Like, it'd be cool if we had some examples. And someone mentioned CGI, and I was like, no. I'm not putting no CGI plant. I was like, maybe there's some practical way to do this. And I'm sitting there on the phone with the director for this docuseries. I'm like, hang on a minute. And I looked in my lab, and I had a little jar of phosphorescent mineral powder and a bleached plant that I had from a previous art installation where I made a garden of bleached plants inside of an art museum. And I said, wait. I took the bleached plant. I dipped it in the jar of phosphorescent mineral powder. I coated it and sealed it. Took it outside, charged it up in the sun, took it in the bathroom, and I shat my pants. I freaked the fuck out. I said, well, holy shit, I'm holding a glowing plant. It's not a living glowing plant, but that's the best part. It's a plant that glows, and you don't need to care for it. And you don't need the stress of trying to keep a bioluminescent plant alive. You have a plant that's dead and dried that won't decay as long as you keep it out of humidity. Just sitting here, perfectly preserved, coated in glowing mineral powder that will glow your whole life. And I just sat there and I was like, holy shit. I made a prop glowing plant. I shared it online and everyone freaked out. And I was flooded with thousands of people saying, can we get glowing plants? I thought, I did not think this was something that was going to happen. So I started a glowing plant business, hired some really cool people that helped me make these glowing plants and ship them out every month, and put glowing plants in everyone's house. And the creativity and the support from that gave us the space to tinker, which made the mauve pigment, which yada yada, you know. All this to say that the glowing plants and this Atlantic Records project are two really cool things to have under my belt for an artist. They're big. I would wish these sort of opportunities for any creative following me to have this kind of excitement and support. Did I pick a single fucking one of those? I did not. It was spur of the moment, inspiration, excitement, sharing that excitement, noticing that that excitement was well received, and there was support, and I thought, I cannot squander this. The only thing I chose was to not completely drop the ball when the support was there. As an artist, that is probably one of the most important things you can do, is not just put it out there, but not completely drop the ball when it's received. When you see the support, you be grateful, thankful, and you say, how can I keep this going? And you don't always get to pick. The glowing plants have taken a few avenues that didn't really work super well. There are ones that did work, and I said, gotta keep it going. Where is this the most well-received? And I don't get to necessarily force it in that direction. I have to be attentive and be observant to what is percolating, you know? What are people responding to? And once you see that, you go with it. That's really it. I'm begging every single one of you artists and creatives that are following me to put your stuff out there. Not for any reason beyond you might excite somebody. You know, if you're chasing success or whatever your definition of success is, because there are many definitions. Sorry for whoever thinks it's just money. It may not be excess money. It may just having your needs met. I think that is success for many people, is just having your needs met, not getting a fucking Lamborghini and bragging about it to making everyone else feel like shit. It may just be having your needs met so that you have the time to enjoy life. Enjoy your community and partake in your community. There are many ways to have success. That's a fact. Not everyone's out trying to get the fucking Lambo. But put your art out there, because part of that success may be, holy shit, this resonated with somebody. Somebody saw this and it excited them. And they want to support it. However that means, whether that's them sharing it, whether that's them owning a piece of it, whether that's them just telling you, this got me excited, and it's helped me pursue my own ideas. we're it's all one big community, and we're a very community oriented species, and part of that is getting the ideas you have and the things you make out into the world. You don't have to. There's never a have to, but there's a benefit. It may be that you may be building a connection with strangers. You don't get to pick, especially with social media, where it does oftentimes feel kind of like a gamble. There'll be things I share that I think are the coolest fucking thing that I'm growing or that I've seen or that I think, and it doesn't really resonate with the people who follow me for my work. And there's stuff that I share just spur of the moment. Like, oh, I've noticed this weird little thing, and it blows up. You know? The mauve pigment was really cool. I have a list of things I think are equally as cool that excite me in my greenhouse or my lab, but that's, you know, I don't speak for everyone who follows my work. And so you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick. But when you notice it moving, you see the momentum, how will you capture that? That's my question. Other cool projects. A new bar in Boston is opening up called The Chemist. And it's an apothecary chemistry-themed bar. And I was approached by the interior designers, the whole team, the owner of this new bar opening up in Boston. And they said, we want to put your glowing plants in this bar. And I said, that would be really cool because my glowing plants aren't really permanently installed anywhere on like a large fixture like that. And I said, that'd be cool. Imagine a chemistry-themed bar. You're sitting there and there's just a canopy of glowing plants above you. I was like, that's cool. That's really cool. We ended up agreeing to not just do the glowing plants, but to do two large illustrations, some crystallized bouquets and silver-plated glass, and some high-quality art prints that I'm shooting, high-res art prints. And so there's going to be two large 14-foot gallery walls, so 28 feet worth of gallery walls, that are going to display a breadth of what I do. And this is going to be permanently installed somewhere. For those of you that are asking, where can we see your work? Where can we look at it up close? This will be an option. It's called The Chemist. And from the last I heard, the soft opening is November 11th. The grand opening is November 14th. A lot of people are asking if I'm going to be there. I want to be, but it's during the holiday season, and I own a small business, so I'm going to be kind of slammed. I want to be there, but I got to kind of figure that part out. It's going to be kind of tight. But I do want to be there to show you guys my work in person. It's a big deal for me, and I'm just really excited. There's going to be somewhere where you guys can go see my work that's not just Tulsa or like pop-ups. But, you know, it feels good to have somewhere where I can direct people. If you're in Boston, go to the bar and check out, I don't know, a really cool chemistry-themed bar, apothecary-themed bar with some really strange art. So those are two really big projects that are happening right now. And if you are following on social media, you may know that you may see that there may or may not be a scavenger hunt happening. hypothetically speaking, I don't know. I can't say for sure. But it seems like there might be a scavenger hunt happening. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Not me. But if you do see a scavenger hunt happening or see anything out of the ordinary, take note. Take note over the next week or so. Because, hypothetically speaking, someone might be hiding 12 small crystallized chameleons around North America. And this person may or may not be sending his followers on a grand quest for the crystallized chameleons. That's all just, you know, hearsay and rumor and talk of the town and whatnot and some of that. But if you see anything out of the ordinary, I would just maybe take some notes. And, yeah, don't overthink it. I wouldn't overthink it. If you see something about a chameleon on my page, maybe think, ah, oh, that might have to do with the hypothetical quest for a crystallized chameleon. If it has nothing to do with the chameleon, there are no clues. I will say that if this person were to do that, they would just keep it to the posts about chameleons. So there's no confusion and you guys aren't like going to miss something. I wouldn't want you to miss something as cool as a quest for crystallized chameleons. So maybe be on the lookout for that. I do know in the Alchemy Bugs Discord, I have a couple of Discords, in the Alchemy Bugs Discord, the folks over there are, like, breaking it down. Like, that, like in the general chat tab, they are deciphering. They are, the moment there's a clue, quote-unquote, they break it down. So it's a lot of fun over there, and it's a great community. And I'm noticing there's a lot of factions, too. I'm seeing a lot of people in my DMs who are working together and whatnot. But if it's not from me directly, I don't know if there's anyone out there that would sabotage or mislead. But just take it from the mouth of the madman, if that were to be a thing that is happening. Plants. Let's talk plants. It is fall-ish if you're in the northern hemisphere, and if you're growing succulents, now's a great time for you. It's a wonderful time if you're growing succulents, or what some of my favorite succulents, mesums. I grow a lot of conophytum, a lot of really weird small plants that have shapes, really weird shapes, and now's the time for them to flower. My advice to you, if you're growing these plants, is always have more than one. If these are plants you're going to collect, and you buy some of these plants, get more. Ah, fucking moth. Oh my god. Kamikaze moth. Holy shit. Wow. Oh my god. That's on the live stream. Oh man. Yeah, this is a little bit of greenhouse rants spirit in there. It's getting attacked by nature. It's just like, shut up. Always get more than one because you can cross-pollinate. I have a couple of plants I do this with where I'm like, I will buy more than one because if they flower, I'm going to cross-pollinate and I can get seed. I encourage all of you to grow your plants from seed if you get the opportunity. It's very rewarding and it's a good way and a very affordable, efficient way to increase your plant collection and to increase the genetic diversity of your plant collection. You could buy, you know, one or two plants that are pretty rare or pretty hard to come by for like, what, $30 each, $50 each. Or you can get seed, and which is relatively affordable. Like, you know, you can buy 20 to 30 seeds for like $10 for some of these plants, or even less. Sow all those, and all of a sudden you have, you know, 30 possible potential plants. And they're all going to be different genetically. When you sow from seed, it's not a clone or a cutting. Their genes is a little different with each one. And so you can get freaks and mutations and things like that, which are rare, but when you get them, it's really cool. You know how much I love a good freak, and highly recommend growing plants from seed. Conophytum, things like lithops and conophytum, are not hard to grow necessarily. You do need to learn their patterns and their seasonal changes, which just requires you being observant, as you should be when it comes to things like nature. It's always better when you observe. And these are plants you can grow on your windowsill. I don't usually advise that people grow a lot of succulents on their windowsill. They need as much light as possible. But things like lithops and conophytum, there are some famous mesum growers. I hope I'm quoting this right, but I do believe either Stephen Hammer or Stephen Brack, who owned Mesa Garden, one of the two of them, I remember reading that they started their collection on a windowsill pretty much. There are some really cool growers out there that grow on little windowsills. They've converted windowsills into little greenhouse window boxes that they grow their conophytum and lithops on. So it is possible to grow them and flower them and get seed on a windowsill. Of course, your brightest windowsill. They're some of the coolest plants in the world. They are also rapidly being poached. I do want to put that out there. These are plants that are being poached from their habitat, southern Africa. They're being poached and sold, and be careful where you buy them. You need to get your conophytum and mesums from reputable growers. A couple to just list off the bat, top of my head. Mesa Garden grows all their plants in, I can't remember how many greenhouses. They have like 8 huge ass greenhouses, and they grow all of it. They sell seed and plants. It's not poached. It's all right there grown in the greenhouse, And they have a whole catalog, a whole database, which you gotta love a good database, good library. And then Plants for the Southwest. Those are two I'm going to shout out on this episode. Plants for the Southwest is, I hope I get this right, I think it's in Tucson. If not, you can check. You got it. And the owners of Plants for the Southwest, they're awesome people. They're really sweet. I buy plants from them frequently. They sell mature plants too. I would not recommend buying a mature mesum, like a clump, like a lithops clump or a big mature mesum, unless you've had a few years under your belt, because killing one of those is brutal to your ego. I would not wish that on any of you, to buy a mature plant that took 30 years to get there and then you kill it in 30 days. don't do it to yourself. But Plants for the Southwest and Mesa Garden are great reputable places to get mesums, so look into those, try them out. And if you get seasonal depression, or if you have seasonal depression, it can be a little uplifting to have something that is actively growing. It helps us to see things growing and thriving. And there are a lot of succulents that love this time of year when the temperatures are cooler and they can do the air exchange. They open up their pores because there's no risk of them losing excess water. That's why they slow down in the summer. If they open up, they're going to lose a lot of excess moisture that they need to hold on to. So when it's cooler, it's safer to do that, which means if they're doing that air exchange, if they're doing that, they're growing. And so if you got a bit of seasonal depression and winters are hard, it might be worth it to grow some succulents that flower just to give you something to look forward to. Because every day you wake up, you're going to check. And that's what I do. Come out in the greenhouse and I look at every little thing. And I share it with my wife and my son. I'll come in there. I'm like, get your asses out here. We got some shit flowering. It keeps my spirits up. So a little bit of advice, a little bit of mental health advice for you. So I think I covered the things I want to talk about in this episode. Now that we're wrapping up, I'm going to give everyone in the live stream a chance to ask some questions pertaining to anything I said or anything at all or what have you. The floor is yours. If I'm comfortable asking it. You know. Or absurd questions. I like absurd. Absurdity? Absurd questions. While I wait for the questions to come in, I started turning on my heater in the greenhouse because it's getting a little cooler. It dropped down to like 40-something the other night. And I was like, oh shit, I ran out at 2 a.m. and flipped it on. I guess a bird made a nest in my heater over summer, and then they all died. It's morbid. I'm sorry. They died, and I guess some of the baby birds like fell out of the nest and got trapped in the cage and the fan. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have given a heads up before I said all this. Well, there's a bunch of like mummified, not a bunch. Oh God, there's like two mummified baby birds in this cage on my fan on my heater. I flip the heater on, fan turns on, and goes. I'm like, what the fuck? And it's like, I'm like, what is happening? And all of a sudden, bone dust and feathers come blowing out of the heater. and I was like, oh God, turned it off, and there's just like shrapnel everywhere. So I had to go dig a bird's nest. A couple of little bodies out of the heater. So, greenhouse things. Let's see. Okay, see if we got some questions. I'll only keep it rolling for like a minute or so. Let's see if anything rolls in. A lot of barfing emojis in the chat. Yeah, it was unfortunate. Oh, so Foshizzy Lizzie asked, at what age did you find your love for plants? I love that question. I grew up with plants my whole life. My dad was a gardener and landscaper, and I grew up with a beautiful garden. Like, people would stop while my dad was working in the garden and roll down the windows, and they're like, hey, oh my gosh, your garden! And I remember my dad could never get anything done because everyone wanted to ask him about his garden. And I grew up being able to hide in the plants, play in the plants. At some point in my life, I also literally lived in a greenhouse. That was not a fun time. That one was not a fun time. But I did live in a greenhouse and sleep on the floor in the back of a greenhouse. So I've had plants my whole life. And they've, in a lot of ways, have kept me sane and tethered to the world. And so I've had plants in my life pretty much my whole life. Yeah. Let's see.
I know there's a couple other. Someone said, any chance Greenhouse Rants is going to come back?
I got news for you. You're on it. You're on it right now. That's what this microphone is right here. So I hope that
was the answer you wanted. I hope it's double the answer you wanted.
Megan.George.Art, when are you coming to Colorado? I love that because I have an answer for you. Tentatively, and I say about 80% it's going to happen, but we have a baby due late January, so we don't really know what kind of baby it's going to be. May 8th and 9th, I'm coming to the Denver Botanic Garden. Everyone make note of this, because I don't know how well Instagram's going to let me spread this news. I'm coming to the Denver Botanic Garden, May 8th and 9th, to give an interview / lecture, probably revolving around mental health and plants and the benefits. I'm going to be giving a couple of classes, and I think I'm going to do a glowing plant scavenger hunt in the garden. So there's a lot of things I threw at them. They're like, let's do some more stuff, because I did a talk this year, and it went really well. It was well attended, even with minimal promotion. So I'm going to start promoting early, because I want that auditorium full. May 8th and 9th, the Denver Botanic Garden, and giving a talk, some classes. I'm going to do a bunch of stuff. I'm going to bring the team up with me. They're going to hopefully help me do a glowing plant scavenger hunt. We're going to charge up the plants really nice and then stash them around and have you guys walk around the gardens at night looking for them. So that's all the ideas I'm throwing out there. Cross my fingers, we can scoop them all up and do them all. And of course, I'll do some thrash caches. I don't think it'll be a pop-up. I'm probably not going to do a pop-up. Just focus on talking and hanging out with all y'all. So make note of that. And I'm pretty sure once they put that in their newsletter and there's tickets and stuff, you guys can go scoop that up. Okay, questions are coming in. I'll answer a couple more. Someone said, yay, Greenhouse Rants is so damn good. Thank you. No question, just thank you for being you. I'm going to start crying. You continually inspire me. You're quietly elected leader of a huge community of rad people. Keep doing you. Wow. Okay. Save those tears for when I shut this down. Not because it's not okay to cry. Just... Yeah, I've got a membership to the Denver Garden, so I'll see you there. Yay! Yay! It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, let's see. So let me try to snag one more question. One more question. A lot of really nice things being said. Also, you guys, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can skip through this part, or you can watch me fumble like an idiot. It's all raw. That's what we're all here for. Raw Thrasher content. We'll never say that ever again. Okay. I'm scrolling forever on this. Oh, any Midwest visits? Chicago. I don't have a whole lot of things on the books for next year. I don't, because the baby, you know, it's I'm trying to tread lightly. But I will say something's happening in Chicago. There's may or may not be happening in Chicago. I don't know. Something may or may not be happening in Chicago. That's all I'm going to say on that. Okay, I saw the last question I will answer, and it is from Closter. What was your gateway plant to beginning your collection? My gateway plant, when I like started my collection as like a conscious adult, and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I went to a local nursery here called Southwood Plant Nursery, and I didn't really know a whole lot about succulents. I mostly grew up with landscaping plants, and I had some cacti, like prickly pear and stuff like that. I really liked cacti as a kid, and I went to this nursery looking for cacti, and I saw all these weird pastel, really nice, yummy-looking plants with all these cool shapes. And I said, what the fuck are these? And I saw a Crassula perforata that had diamond-shaped leaves that alternate. So they like pop, 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 pop. Looks like a tower of crisscrossing diamonds. I said, I ain't never fucking seen a plant like that. And it's all really nice and juicy. And I said, that is the craziest, most just amazing little tiny fucking plant I've ever seen. So I got to have it. And that was the first plant. I got it, I brought it home, and said, I gotta have every plant that looks as weird as this plant. And I found plants that I think look weirder than that plant. And it just, it wasn't even a rabbit hole, it was like a rabbit chasm. Like, it just went, and I just fell. I'm still falling. I don't think I've reached the bottom yet. Because I'm also now hybridizing and making my own weird little plants. So I found a way to make the chasm keep going, is what I'm saying. But that was the first one, Crassula perforata. Okay. Oh, shit. Okay. All right, y'all. Simmer down. Simmer down. I have found the question we're going to end this on. I'm going to do my best here. This is from Faninergy. I'm sorry. This is a serious question. I'm going to do my best to answer it, according to my own experience, and then I will be cutting this and letting you guys loose for the evening. Do you have any tips what to do if we lose motivation to continue making art? So, there are two realms I think I can answer this on. The first one, which I think is the most important, is real life. I think there are two realms. Making art within real life and making art in regards to social media. I'm going to answer the real life one up front because I think that one has the most meat to it. Making art, and this is something that we do when we have the space and the leisure and the energy. I'm going to just say that again. Making art is something we do when we have the space, the leisure, and the energy. Is not something we do when we have nothing left. If, and I'm just making a wild guess here, I'm just talking from experience. If you lose the motivation to make art, I think it may be indicative of other areas in your life that you might need to give some attention to. In my experience, that's what it is. When I find that there is nothing in my fucking soul to sit down with that pencil and paper, those ideas, and they're not flowing. Even if they are flowing, I don't want to fucking do them. Like, there's nothing in me that wants to see it through. That is always an indicator that that hierarchy of needs. Making art is kind of like, it's like almost close to the junk food part of the food pyramid. It's pretty high up there. It's a necessity, but it's... There are things that I think are more foundational that give us the space to make art. And those foundations may be cracking. If you lose the motivation to make art, stop with the pressure. Set the pressure aside. You will not find the gumption by beating yourself into it. You will not beat the gumption into you. Put that on the back burner. Right now, you're not supposed to be making art. You're supposed to look at the rest of your life and say, what is missing? What needs to be... tended to? Do you need quality time with friends and family? Do you need some alone time? Do you need time to recoup and rest? Do you need to give yourself the space for those ideas to come comfortably? Those are the questions I ask. Are you well rested? Do you need friends and family? Is there some sort of mental anguish that you could really use some support on? Once those are handled, then you start seeing the breathing room to actually not just think of the art and know the art should exist, but actually make and complete the art. Maybe not even complete it, but just at least get the experience of being a human that takes an idea from the fucking universe and gives it some bit of tangible form. There's never any pressure to have to complete something, by the way, but to at least take an idea that keeps you going and hold it. That's what making art is. It's holding an idea and just sitting with it. Sometimes we ain't got room to sit with it because there's other people at the table that we need to address. So that's the first thing I would do. Sit back, look at everything happening in your life and say, there's probably some other things that need to be tended to. And I hope that you get the resources to do that. I hope you have the resources and the support. And if not, I hope you find them for everyone, not just the person that asked this question, including myself. I hope I always am able to find that support. The second one, which is a little shorter and a little more existential and meaningless because it's social media, is social media. Making art, in terms of social media, it can be draining. It can be really draining. You can hit burnout because, well, you're not making art, you're making content. And you stop making the art to make the content, to share your art, in hopes that people support your art so you can keep making the art, or if they support the content so you can keep making the art. Once you find that cycle, you gotta step back. You gotta step back once you hit that burnout. That's really all it is. It's just step back. The most important thing is that you make the art. Unless you want to be a content creator or something, or make content or something. If you don't want to do that, if you started off as an artist, that is where you start off, and you might need a little reminder to step back and go, no, whoa, this was never about social media. I hate to say it, we all got tricked into making content. Some of us just want to make art. We all want to share that art, but there's new rules to the game that we all have to just play. There's always rules we got to play. And if you don't like those rules, just step back and remember, like, that you started off making art. Take the pressure off yourself. Yeah. So I think the big thing is always back off on the pressure and don't force yourself to be motivated. Look at what is needing the attention the most. And I hope you all get those resources. That's the question I'm going to end on. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope that was helpful. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any more questions or you ever want to write into the podcast, shoot me an email, shoot me a DM. I may or may not see it. And there may or may not be a scavenger hunt for 12 baby crystallized chameleons happening around North America. And I may or may not be posting a fuck ton of clues regarding those chameleons over this next week. Also, tune in on Halloween for the big reveal on the really kick-ass hip-hop artist and rapper I'm working with. Good night.